Whoa.
You get started.
Like you're a little nervous up here,
like a
you know.
Attack.
Who's packing today? Who's got it?
If you walked in this morning, you saw some breakfast out there. That was just a little token. The special day today that we need to honor our pastors, Pastor Ron and Pastor Eddie, and he's back there at the door, and also their families. So it was just a small token today. As you leave today, just give them a pat on the back, tell them how much you appreciate them. But before we do that, please make sure that we can give them a round of applause, a hoop and a holler for all they do for us.
Thank you. So if you know me, you know how uncomfortable that is for me. And, you know, I can't do what I do without you guys, you know, and certainly without God working in it. But man, Eddie and I can't do what God's called us to do here without you guys supporting us and all the things that you guys sacrifice and give to allow this ministry to go on. And so thank you for thanking me or whatever, but you just need to know that's how I always see it. So thank you, Missy. And I probably wouldn't run up here like that ever again because I'm going to break down on you, you know? So anyway, she probably whooped me, but anyway. Well, thank you so much for being here today. It's an honor to just be able to be the pastor here at URA Community Church. And if you don't know, my name's Ron, and I'm the lead pastor here. And Pastor Eddie is our care pastor, and he is my friend, and so he has been a huge support for me as well, and I can't do what I do without him praying for me, most of all. I know that's what he does for me, so and I know you guys do too, but thank you. So we've been in this series called The Plan, and this is week 4 of our series. It's really kind of looking at what the plan that God has for us, that he has for us as individuals, that he has for us as a church called URA Community Church, and then as the church, the Big C Church, the overall church in the world, and what his purpose and plan is for us. And I believe that we have to really, we have to know that plan. And we have to not just know the plan, but we have to know why we accomplished the plan. And we spent the first 3 weeks of this kind of dealing with the why. And the why is that God's love is it goes beyond anything. And so his love is what drives us to want to accomplish the things that he wants us to accomplish. And so we know that he loves us beyond anything that we could imagine and really even that we could comprehend on our own. But it's because of him that we do what we do. And we know that there are the pieces that kind of fall into it of just being... being who we are, living out our purpose and our plan, and then doing that individually and as a church. So that's kind of where we've gotten to. So if we don't know why we do something, then the what will eventually wear out. You know, I know that. For instance, there's some foster parents in the room. So foster parents take on an amazing deal. But if they don't know why they become foster parents, eventually that it will get tiring and it will wear you out. And I know that is a fact. But I know if you know why you do it, then the difficult times just become part of the plan and they're part of what you go through. And so it becomes more of an honor than it does a burden. And though that's for anything that we may do, even in your job. If you don't know why, if somebody tells you to go dig a ditch, well, you probably would go dig a ditch for a day or two. But eventually that ditch would get really old if you don't know what the ditch is for and why you're doing it. But if you knew that it would carry water to people who don't have water, you know, I don't know if you're like me, I'd go dig that ditch all I had to make that happen. And so that's what this is about in this series, is figuring out why. Why are we doing it? And so now that we've gotten the why down, if you missed those, you can go to the website and catch those up. But now we shift into the what. And for us as a church, there are three particular things that we focus on. We focus on worship, we focus on community, and we focus on mission. And so today I want us to spend the majority of our time really just on what worship is. Because in our society, you know, we get worship really messed up. We attach value to places that it really sometimes doesn't deserve to be. I mean, if you just take the whole NFL thing right now, we have assigned value to athletes and to teams. If you're one of those, if you're a sports fanatic like me, you've assigned value and everything to those. And so what happens is we give them that value, and then when something doesn't go our way or they do something that we don't agree with, then it becomes a much bigger issue than if we kind of put them where they belong, right? If we kind of let them play the place that they're to be in our lives. But unfortunately, we've given it a lot of value, and now it's caused an extreme division within our country. And I think a lot of that, you know, we could debate that all the time, but I got to believe that we carry some of the responsibility because we've given them the platform. So that's a whole other message and lesson, and we could debate that at another time. But that's what happens. We give musical artists value, and so when something happens to one of them, we hear more about that than we do about 59 people that get killed in Las Vegas. It becomes a bigger headline sometimes. It did, and I love Tom Petty, but it was a lot said about Tom Petty in the midst of what has gone on the last week or so. Here's what even happens. We give value to things that shouldn't be, because I promise, I could quiz you, and most of you could tell me the shooter's name in Las Vegas, but couldn't tell me one name of a victim. True? That's because in our culture we assign value to different things, and we want to know and we want to do it, and so we get it messed up a lot of times. So worship is something that we've got to get right because of who deserves the worship and who is truly to be worshiped. And so that's what we're going to spend time on today, is how do we do that? How do we focus on the one who really deserves it, and how do we give him the credit and the honor and all the things that he deserves? But we pursue a lot of things in our society. We pursue money and stuff and everything else. And so we often forget, you know, what's of most value. And that's how that happens. It happened in the Garden of Eden. Because listen, who did Adam and Eve listen to ultimately in the garden? The serpent. They listened to his voice. He convinced them very quickly, after all they had seen and known about God, they quickly took his word and gave him value because he was the one who was loudest at the moment. And we tend to do that too. But we have something that has been done for us that should help us to be able to understand what true value is and what it should go to. Because the Bible tells us that, you know, what do we profit if we gain the world but lose our soul? And so we have this thing that allows us to know where our soul goes, what the ultimate outcome is for our soul. And it's the gospel of Jesus. The fact that Jesus came, he lived a sinless, perfect life, that he gave that life on a cross, which they moved on me. And so he gave his life on a cross, he was buried, and on the third day was raised again. So the gospel, the power that it has, should help us to be able to know truly what is of most value. And so in this series, that's what we're going to be looking at, these different pieces and really digging down into it. And so we come today to the matter of worship and what it really was. Some of you just were probably thinking, hey, we just finished worship, right? Because we're guilty in the church world of talking about worship leaders and worship time and worship band and all of this stuff, when really that's just a piece of it. In fact, it's a very small piece if we really want to look at what worship truly is all about, because we've tied it to certain pieces of it. But in the New Testament, worship speaks to how we act and how we live our lives, and it talks about the presence of God with us, and so there's so much more. And that's why we as a church, we say that worship, when we talk about it, is that worship is something that we do in every area of our lives. That's what we're to focus on. When worship is a value of ours, then it should be something that not just is a few minutes of our time, but that is a part in everything that we do. And so worship is important. And so it's almost impossible, though, to completely cover that. Such a broad kind of piece of us, something that shouldn't be in every area of our lives in one message. And so today we're going to kind of hit some high spots. But I believe that because we're going to do it through God's Word, He's going to be very clear to us. And so we're going to be in the book of Revelation, believe it or not. And so everybody always wants the preacher to preach out of Revelation. So here it is, okay? It has nothing to do with end times, but then again it does. Because we're talking about worshiping the One. And so Revelation 4 and 5 kind of set this picture of what worship really should look like for us. Because it describes a heavenly worship. And we should worship the same way, and there's a lot of things that we can take away from this. And so we're going to let worship be a part of our lives. If we're going to do the what, if we're going to truly worship God, then let's look at what that accomplishes, because there's some things that we have to let worship be in our lives. We have to let it be more than just the music on the radio. Or the songs we listen to at particular times, maybe at work or whatever. It's got to be more than that. So let's talk about those. How do we let worship be involved? First, you've got to make it a response. You've got your outline. You want to fill in the blanks there and just kind of follow along with us. But make it a response. It's got to be more than just, you know, this routine thing. It's got to be a response to something. Here's the truth. Those who know Him best worship Him the most. Those who know God the best and really learn more about Him and understand Him and spend time with Him and all that, those that know Him most worship Him best, because this is a response. Worship comes out of our knowledge of Him and our relationship with Him. The more that we know about God, the better that we can worship Him. Scriptures are full of descriptions of God Himself, more than just His character, more than just, you know, certain attributes, but it's about who He is ultimately, and knowing that allows us to truly experience just full worship of Him. So Revelation 4 and 5 is here. There's the elders and the angels who know God the best. That they are there, and this description is how they respond to who God is. And we're beginning Revelation 4, verse 8. It says, day after day, and night after night, they kept on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the One who always was, the One who is, and the One who is still to come. Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the One sitting on the throne, the One who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the One sitting on the throne, the One who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, 'You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and they exist because You created what You pleased.'" Now think about that. Here are these angels, here are these elders, those that know God the best, and when we worship them, it says that they kneel, they bow down, and they demonstrate this honor and this glory and this and represent the power of who God is, and they celebrate that. What it says to you and me is that if we want to worship God better, we need to become more preoccupied with knowing Him. Some of you say, "Well, wait a minute. You're telling me I got to know Him better? Yeah, Ron, you're saying I got to read my Bible more. Ron, you're saying I got to do this. Ron, you're saying I got to spend more time and all this stuff. And don't you know that I just don't have time?" Well, listen, I don't know about you, but I know about me. And there's always more time in my schedule for whatever. Even as crazy and as busy as I sometimes believe that I am, and it seems like I am, there's always more time for what's most important. And here's a very clear understanding of being able to spend more time and get to know the One who made us and created us and has a plan for us. And we can do that. It's not as hard as we think it is. through the study of His Word, through developing our personal relationship with Him, we get to know Him and better. And far too often, as I said earlier, we make it a ritual. Worship becomes this ritual that if we come in, we sit down, the countdown happens, the band plays, we do three songs and they sit down and worship's over. I don't know about you, but it's just getting started. And it should have really, quite honestly, have started before any of us ever walked in the door. It should have begun this morning when we opened our eyes that we acknowledged that, hey, I got to do it one more time. You know, it doesn't take long to realize that we don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know what today brings. It could be that some of us don't finish out today, that this is the day. So we don't know what that looks like. So today we gotta, you get a chance to worship, we gotta begin to worship when we can. It's more than just Sunday mornings, it's more than just guitars and drums and all of that stuff. It's more than that. It's about understanding who God is. And here's the thing. Here's what worship is and what it is not. Okay? Worship is about God. Worship is not about us. Right? Because some of you are thinking, you know, I really didn't like that song this morning. I just really like it. It just didn't do much for me. It's not about you. It's not about me. Sometimes we do songs, you know what? I don't like either. Don't tell the band that. No, it's not. It's just not me, right? I mean, I got a little rhythm, but I ain't got a lot of rhythm. So some of them just take me too far. I can't go all the way with them because I just can't dance like that or move like that, or you know, it just doesn't happen. But the truth is, it's not about me. It's not about what makes me happy and makes me feel good when it comes to worship. It's about what honors God and expresses who He is and always has been. And so sometimes we get caught up in church with, oh, I don't like that song, I don't like that style, I don't like this. But listen, man, if you got an organ, you ought to be able to worship. If you got a kazoo, you ought to be able to worship. Because it's not about you or me, it's about how we honor God for who He is and what He's done in our lives. We should be able to worship Him in any situation. I love the way that the angels demonstrate this to us. They begin with, holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God. Set apart, special, better, not like any of us is what they say God is. That He is different, that He's perfect, that He's without sin, and part of our worship has to be speaking these truths about God to understand that that is who He is, that He's not like us. Thank God that He is not like us. He doesn't have good days and bad days. He doesn't have days where He feels like looking out for us and days that He doesn't. That He feels like, you know, having an attitude one day and not having, you know, being, you know, really nice the next, and that He responds like us. Thank God He doesn't act like our teenagers, right? I'm just saying. But anyway, he just has these characteristics that go beyond who we are. Holy, and we have great teenagers, by the way. I'll just say that. Anyway, I have one. That's the only reason I said that. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty. That he's more than that. He's sovereign. That it's not about anybody, that He doesn't have to ask anybody else permission. It's Him who created us and who has a plan for us and can create anything that He wants to be able to have us achieve the plan that we want. He just needs us on board. And worship is a place where we get on board with Him, where we acknowledge who He is and what He's doing. The Lord God, the Almighty. They sing this hymn of praise and they recognize Him above all other creation. They have a view of God and they see Him for who He is, and that He's the Lord of lords, the King of kings, and that He is the beginning and the end. He is who He says He is. Think about when the book of Revelation was written. It's a kind of an interesting time. There was this really intense persecution going on of believers, and Christians were being killed for their faith in Christ, and And part of what we need to remember is that we worship Him in this truth as this is being written and as it's being laid out. The people of that time were going through an incredible time where they weren't allowed to really express who God was in their life. And I know we think that maybe there's a little persecution that goes on here because somebody doesn't like us because we go to church, or we're afraid to mention it because we might be looked on differently. Listen, these people faced death because of their belief. But yet these words were expressed that this is who God is. No matter what's going on around us, no matter what kind of threat that we may face, that there is this God who is in charge of it all, and that He loves us above everything else. And we get to worship Him in that. The things we encounter here kind of, they don't go unnoticed by God. We often think that because things are tough, that God must be somewhere else, that He must not be paying attention. Listen, He is always paying attention. Nothing comes to us that doesn't pass through His hands. There's a purpose and a reason for that to happen, but He is always aware. He is always in control. He's the ruler of all, and He's for us. He's for us. You need to hear that today, that He's for you, not against you. And that He is there, and He deserves our worship. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the One who always was, who is, and is yet to come. I mean, think about that. He's always been there. And He's right here right now, and He'll be there when we get wherever we're going. That's who He is. And so His plan is part of us experiencing Him all the way through that. There's never been a time where He was not. And there's never been a time where He's changed from who He was to who He is to who He will be. He will be the same. And we can depend on that. There's nothing else in this world that we can depend on not ever changing. Except God. When we trust Him and we believe Him, when He says He is, then we know that He is and that He will be. And we can depend on that. In verse 4, these elders, we go on to verse 11. It says, they look at Him and they say, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things and they exist because You created what You pleased." It pleased God to create us. You ever thought about that? That you're a pleasure for God to create. Every person was a pleasure. Now, they may not be may not seem like much of a pleasure anymore. And maybe even, you know, there's times in my life where I was sure that I couldn't be pleasing God. That He couldn't, there's no way that this, you know, pack of bones could the way and where I was could be any way pleasing to God. And I'm sure my actions were not. But the One that He created was a pleasure for Him. That's why we're here. It is to be that pleasure. So our actions need to be able to follow through that. And that's where worship comes in, that we honor Him and we recognize Him and we give Him what He deserves in everything that we do. That means that when we're at work, listen, we've got to honor Him with it. That means that maybe, you know, if we're short and cutting things at work, we're not honoring Him with that. And so maybe it's time to go back and change how we do those things. Maybe in our parenting. Maybe we're halfway doing some things that we need to be doing all the way. It's just not very honoring to Him, not very pleasing to Him, though, when we do those things. But we were created to be that. And so our response out of who He created us to be should be worship, true, deep worship of Him. Contrary to popular belief that none of us here are a product of billions of years of evolution, right? I've met people that made me question that before. Sometimes I'm sure I've made people question it. But the truth is that we were created very special, very particularly for the things that He wants for us. And so here's God, this being that created us that we can trust. He is not some demigod who's subject to the whims of the creation. He doesn't just, you know, flop around at our demand. He doesn't do that. He is holy and almighty and eternal. He's the creator, and we are His creation. There's these deep truths about God that we need to understand, that when we are able to get them, we respond to that and we recognize Him for who He is. Now, we got to be careful, because there's oftentimes there's temptations to believe other things. But here's what Colossians 3 says, that since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. That means don't get caught up in all the stuff around us, but don't lose track of who God is. That He's bigger than anything that we can pursue here. His plan and His purpose for us is greater than anything that we could ever go after here. But you read over a few chapters and you find out this amazing way that they worship Jesus, the Lamb, that in Revelation 5, verse 9, and they sang a new song with these words, that you are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe, language, and people, and nation. Listen, He is not just the God of America, right? He's not just the God of whites. He's not just the God of blacks. He's not just the God of a certain, you know, rich people and not of poor people. He doesn't play by those rules. We've been suckered into playing by those rules in our society. But He doesn't play by them. It doesn't matter. He's the God of all. There's no one that He didn't create. So as such, we have to always remember that. Because to do anything different is not to worship Him the way that He needs to be worshipped. It's to put us before Him by becoming the judge, becoming the one who sets those criteria. And Jesus is worthy of our worship and praise, not just because He is God, and He is, but because of what He's done for us. Because He shed His blood to pay the price for our sin on the cross. He deserves our worship. Our response can't be to just keep on going on when we know and understand and we truly believe what He's done for us. See, today we're going to celebrate baptism, and it's going to be a really cool moment. Because you're going to get to see the excitement of someone who's just accepted Christ. Little speed demon. You'll get to meet him in a little bit. But man, when he, you know, every time I've seen him, he came by the house Friday night, walked up to me. First thing he said to me, he'd say, "Hey, how are you?" He said, "I'm getting baptized Sunday." He walked in the door. He walked straight up to him. He said, "Hey, I'm getting baptized today." I said, "No, we're not doing it today." He said, "Yes, we are." He didn't turn on. And it's because he's excited about it. You see, when you understand the reality of accepting Jesus, because listen, when he got saved the other Sunday, first thing he did, he walked out and he said, "Hey, my name is," and he introduced himself and he said, to every person he came, he said, "I just got saved." And when was the last time some of us, more seasoned Christians, walked up to somebody and said, "Hey, my name's Ron, I'm saved"? We don't do it. When was the last time we walked up and expressed to somebody what we believe about Jesus? When was the last time we told somebody about what we experienced in our own salvation so that they could hopefully experience that same salvation in their own lives? When? I got to be honest, sometimes it's not as regular in my life as it should be. I'm guessing it's probably not in all of our lives that we identify ourselves with Christ the way that happens. And so our response, because you need to know when you tell people about it, that's a worship moment in your life. You're responding to what He's done by telling other people That's worship. If you want to cultivate the discipline of worship in your life, and you want your worship to be authentic, you got to preoccupy yourself with knowing God better and having a deeper relationship with Him. It's not based on how you feel. It's not based on the temporal things around you, but it's based on the knowledge that you have of who God truly is and what He's done in your life. And so we need to make worship. It's got to be a response to who He is in our lives. Worship. We got to make it practical. We got to make it practical. It's got to be something that we just don't talk about, but it's got to be something that we do. It's got to involve everything around us that we do, that we say, that we give. It's action. It's active. It's an alive thing. We've got to practice it on a regular basis for it to be all that God wants it to be. We turn worship kind of pretty man-centered in our society. That's what we like to do. And even in the church, we try to create this worship that attracts people in, not to the Savior, but to the seat. And quite honestly, sometimes to the bottom line. We hope people will come so that our seats will be full and our budget will be met. It happens sometimes. But we can't make it about that. Worship's got to be this practical thing that involves much more than just those kind of things. We've got to look at it differently. Sometimes, listen, and maybe you say, well, that's what's wrong with the church. Well, listen, here's what we do as individuals. We only worship God when He does what we want Him to do. We only acknowledge Him when He gives us what we ask for. So we're all kind of guilty of it. We all put ourselves in that position. So here's some things when we talk about it being practical. Here's what we've got to practice for worship to be what it's truly meant to be. The first thing is humility. We got to be humble. Humility. I would tell you how humble I am, but that wouldn't be very humble, would it? Right? We like to do that. We like to talk about how humble we are, and we like to make ourselves do that. And you know, sometimes I get people who like to talk about how much they give for certain things and how much they do for certain things and all of that. And I'm thinking, and it's almost done in a humble spirit. But listen, if we're talking about those things, it's not being very humble. Those are the things that we should do because we're supposed to do, not so that people will know and they'll want to be looking up to us in any way. We need humility. Revelation 4 and 5 gives several examples. Chapter 4, verse 10 says, the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the one sitting on the throne. 5:8 says, and when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Revelation 5:14 says, and the four living beings said, amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb. They recognized. These guys were there. The elders are there because they've earned this position. They've earned these crowns that they're wearing, but they fall down at His feet and they acknowledge Him rather than themselves. Two principal words in the Bible that are translated worship literally mean to lay prostrate out in front of Him. To just lay down on your belly, just acknowledging that you're not even worthy to stand in His presence. And I got to be honest that it's probably been way too long since I worshiped that way. To just lay out. Because I'm not worthy to stand in His presence. I think we miss that. Worship is to be more than just a song. It's more to be just this little simple thing that we do. I've had people say that worship, it's my way to God. Well, that's good that's how you get there, but you really can't get there because worship comes from already being there. It already comes from being in a relationship with Him. You can't truly worship God without a relationship with Him. And humility helps us recognize that we can't do it without Him. Humility before God's an absolute in worship. If it's going to be all that we're supposed to be, humility has to be there. The second thing that worship involves is surrender. It involves surrender. Verse 10 of chapter 4, the second part says, and they lay their crowns before the throne. Here's the surrender of that, of this crown that they've earned. You know, we talk about sacrifice a lot in church, and I think surrender is a much better word. I think sacrifice, we sometimes we feel like we sacrifice when we don't really sacrifice. But when we talk about surrender, that's a whole nother level of where we just give it all up. And the elders, they gave up their crowns. They just laid them down at His feet and let him have it. Those are rewards that they've earned, but they give them away. And you can't come to worship. Listen, you can't come and worship with a stingy heart. You can't come to worship with closed fists of any kind. Whether it's holding on to your lifestyle, whether it's holding on to your finances, whether it's holding on to a relationship, whether it's holding on to hurts, whatever it is, when we come with a stingy heart, listen, we can't truly worship, because worship is completely surrendering to the One who deserves it all. You know, one of the things I used to worship with in a stingy way, I used to try to worship with a stingy reputation, right? I used to think that, man, I can't truly worship, because if I really worship Him for who He is, I'm going to lift my hands. If I really worship Him the way I'm going to clap. If I really worship, I'm going to move my feet, and I'm just going to let go and just let it happen and honor Him for who He is. And so I wouldn't raise my hands when I worshiped. And finally, God just began to show me that, listen, some may raise their hands, some may not. But don't ever not raise your hand because you're afraid of what somebody else is going to think of you. Don't ever stand still because you're afraid of what somebody else is going to think of you. Don't ever not do whatever you feel like doing in worship because you're afraid of what others are going to think of you. Don't ever do it to bring glory to yourself, but don't ever hold on to whatever He's telling you to let go of. That's not true worship. And I think the church has become a place where we've kind of been conditioned to hold on to so much. Because that's just not what we're supposed to do. We just don't do that here. And I'm saying, if God's telling you to do it, and you know it's truly Him telling you, then you do what you feel like you're supposed to do. Will He tell you to do crazy stuff and jump up and run pews and all that stuff, which we don't have? But, you know, listen, I don't think so. It says, the Bible says He's a God of order, and I don't think He's going to bring anything in that's going to bring disorder. But I do believe that He's going to bring in things and He's going to tell people to just let go and worship Him. So if you feel like raising your hands when we sing and when we pray or whatever, raise them. And if you don't, that's fine. But don't ever hold back. Don't be stingy in worship. The third thing that it involves is praise. Praise. And at its most elemental level, praise is speaking the excellence of God. It's just acknowledging who He is. In Revelation 19, verses 4 and 5, say, then the 24 elders and their four living beings and the four living beings fell down and worshiped God who was sitting on the throne. They cried out, Amen, praise the Lord. And from the throne came a voice that said, praise our God, all His servants, all who fear Him, from the least to the greatest. It's to praise Him. It's to acknowledge Him. And whatever that looks like for you at the moment, praise Him with it. I love the old hymn, Praise Him, Praise Him. Listen to this. Praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him, highest archangel in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms, he carries them all day long. And then there's this refrain, praise him, praise him. Tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. When was the last time that you just praised him? Listen, I've got to be honest. There are people in this world that think I'm crazy. I know that doesn't come as a surprise to some of y'all. But it really is. And I don't know who they are, but they've undoubtedly been beside me on the highway at times where I've just let go. And I've seen. I'm by myself, I promise, because nobody else could stand it. But I sing. I sing at the top of my lungs. And I might even hang my arm out the window. I'm just telling you, it's just crazy sometimes. I kind of want to do it when Allie, my 14-year-old's in the car, just to embarrass her. Kind of in the car line. I just want to do it, but I hadn't yet. But it's just, there's just moments where I can't help but to praise him for what he's done. You know, a lot of times what it's about? It's about stuff that he's done in your lives. It had nothing to do with me. It's things that I hear about him doing in your lives and in your families and in your places. It's just, I can't tell you how exciting it is to know that God is just moving in so many different ways. I'm telling you, in a moment, I told my wife and girls yesterday, I said, listen, the speed demon is going to get baptized tomorrow, and I know he's going to get me wet. Because he's going to hop in there, and he's going to jump out of that thing, and I know water's going to fly in a little bit. And I'm so excited about that. Because it's just going to be praise, y'all. And you know what? I hope it gets all over all of us. I hope that none of us escape it today. That it does something for every one of us, that God uses it to change every single one of us, but we need to praise him. It involves lifting up the wonders and the excellence of God, not just in the church, but, because here, listen, it's easy to come to church and praise him, right? We get in and it's all easy to kind of lift our hand, but it's a whole other thing to do it outside where nobody agrees. And it shouldn't be different. We got to acknowledge who he is. Even outside of the year, it's we have a responsibility to do it. That praise needs to be a lifestyle, not an event. It needs to be special. And here's the final thing, that worship, it needs to be a response, it needs to be practical, and it's got to be personal. Make it personal. Worship's not just something we do, it is who we are and how we live. Worship involves our everyday lives. When it comes to personal discipleship, it's important that every single one of us do it. It's something as individuals that we acknowledge in whatever way that we do it. It's not going to look like it does for the same for all of us. Some of us are never going to lift our hands. Some of us are never maybe even going to sing out loud. I know y'all wish I would do that, not sing out loud, but I do. But it's not. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It does matter where it comes from and what it's about. It's got to be personal. Revelation 5:12, and they sang in a mighty chorus, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." It's about putting God where he belongs in our lives on an individual basis. That if you are here this morning and you say that God has saved you, that you acknowledge that Jesus Christ came and died on a cross, paid the price for your sin, was buried and raised again, that he did that, if you acknowledge that he did that for you, then this is about you in the sense of how you express it. It's honoring him because of what he's done for you. He's the one that deserves it all. I appreciate the fact that y'all honor me today with that. But I got to tell you, man, it ain't about me. Because if If those years ago he hadn't saved me, I don't know where I would be. But he took this 21-year-old snotty-nosed punk who thought he had the world by the tail, who thought he could drink more than anybody else, who could cuss more than anybody else, who could, you know, whatever, more than anybody else, because that's where I was. I thought I could do it all. And he took me and showed me that all those things I could do, that if the gates of hell slammed behind me, I could never open them. And only because of what Jesus did for me allowed me to never have to face those gates at all. But now, rather than trying to get out of those gates, now I can storm those gates with a bunch of people and hopefully keep people out of there. See, worship has got to be personal. That's why I can personally acknowledge who he is, because of what he's done for me. Apostle Paul wrote these words in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, and I think we've heard some of these so often that we've become desensitized to what he's saying here to us. So I just want you to listen for a minute. Just close your eyes for a second. So you're not distracted. Just close your eyes. Listen to what it says here. And so, dear brothers and sisters, that's all of us, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now look up at me. Do you know his will? Because see, some of us have struggled with his will. So our worship doesn't come because we haven't identified with his will. But it says his will is good and perfect and pleasing. That's what we are to ascribe to. And when our worship becomes real and true, we get to identify with it and we get to understand it. So let me just ask you, when it comes to worship, when it comes to worship that is a response to who God is, and when it comes to worship that's practical, that how you do it with humility and when you have praise in it, and when it comes to the personal piece of it being about what he's done for you, how you doing? How are you doing? Is worship something that you tolerate? Is worship just something that you do? If the band will play just one more song, you'll have just a little bit more worship. Or is worship something that has become part of who you are and what you do and where you go and who you talk with and who you long to just be with? Is it really part of you? The plan is that we worship him. So that's the what. We know why. So what are we going to do with it? God, today I pray that our worship becomes more than just words. That our worship becomes more than just an activity. But God, as we become the person that you want us to be, and the church that you want us to be, and the peace of the church in our community and in our world that you want us to be, God, that worship doesn't just inhabit a few songs, but it inhabits everything that we do. That God, that when we when we interact with other people, that there's worship. God, that when we work, there's worship. When we serve, there's worship. When we give, there's worship. When we play, that there's worship. God, this morning we come before you, and God, I don't know where everybody is with you. God, I don't even need to know where they are. You know, and they know. And so, God, today I pray that wherever we may find ourselves in our relationship with you, that first that we begin to examine, do we know you? Because if we're going to worship you, we got to know you. Because we can't experience all the things that we've talked about today, that like those angels and those elders, we can't do that without knowing you. And so that begins with a knowledge of accepting Christ. To accept the forgiveness that he offers for our sin. To accept that he died on the cross for that sin, and that now he, because of his death, that our debt is paid and we can truly be forgiven of our sin. And that today that we can acknowledge his death, but we can more than that, God, acknowledge that he was buried and that he was raised again, and that today he lives. And so we can be forgiven of our sin today, but we can be set free for eternity. And so God, anybody in the room today that needs to make that decision, I pray that you would allow them to start there. And then God, for those of us in the room maybe that have known him for a long time, but our worship has become very scattered and it's become very weak and it's watered down and it doesn't even really have much to do with you. God, I pray that we would search ourselves and we would recommit to just loving you where you are. God, wherever we may find ourselves today, may we truly seek to worship you for who you are. That we may truly seek to worship you for all that you've done. God, may we truly worship you for all that you will do. So God, as we continue on in this service, I pray that you won't quit working. And we won't quit asking and seeking you. So I pray that you'll move in our hearts, and any decisions that we need to make, God, today, that we would make them right now. And then live them out through your power and your strength. And so we thank you today for your love and for your care. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. The band's going to play. So what I want you to do, we're going to take this moment, and this is just your time to allow God to just speak. And maybe today you just say, you know what, I just haven't worshiped. I just want to come and worship him. I want to come kneel and fall down the way those elders did and just acknowledge God for who he is. Maybe today you just need to do that. Maybe some of us in the room haven't done that in a long time. And so today, this area is open. It's just a place to come acknowledge him. Maybe today you just need to come and just need to be prayed with. Let us pray with you. Whatever it is today that you need, you come. And we'll meet you here.